Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The night of the formal is finally here for Chris, Cindy, and JC. It's going to be the best night of their lives. But tonight is also the night of the creeps.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Main Damey podcast. We are here once again talking about a Halloween movie for 31 Days of Horror. With me as always is Dan Aquino. Say hello, Dan.
Hey everybody.
And over in the Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area is Mark Myers. What's up, Mark?
Hello, internet.
Very good, Mark. So before we get into the movie that we are going to be talking about, Night of the Creeps, Dan, how's your horror movie viewing going?
It's actually slowed down a little bit, mm-hmm. but I had the Comic-Con over the weekend, so I really didn't get to watch much, but the Comic-Con in itself was a horror movie, so if you want to count that, it's been going great. But I was just telling you guys I watched, and I'd recommend this to people, The ABCs of Horror. It's an anthology horror movie that's just unbelievably nuts. There's no rhyme or reason to any of that movie, but it's definitely worth a watch. My girlfriend and I watched it, and we were both thoroughly creeped out. So that I feel like that has made up for time missed. But other than that, it's going very well.
Okay. How was Comic-Con?
It was fun. It had its ups and downs. I met Jason Mewes from Jay and Silent Bob fame.
Nice.
He was walking the streets, and he was by himself. And I said, Jason Mewes. And he said, what's up, baby? And then walked by me.
Oh, so, congratulations, yeah. Dan. You are now pregnant.
Right. I saw that tweet. So I didn't know how to react to that because he would just be a horrible father. But there was also, I'm going to regret this to the day I die, there was a adult film actress there that I had been dying to see. Her name is April O'Neil, that's her stage name. She's from San Diego, I think, so she flew out for the Comic-Con, and I saw her dressed as April O'Neil from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
mm-hmm.
and I chickened out. I was going to go ask her for like a pic, but I was like, I got cold feet, man. Like, I'm telling you, I tweeted this and it stands true. I can talk with Hall of Fame sport players, you know, like Boomer Esiason and Dan Marino. But if you get me in front of a pretty girl like her, I can't do anything. I can't move. I can't do anything.
It's interesting because you technically have the upper hand. You shouldn't be so nervous around them because you've seen them naked, and that's one thing you have up on them.
Right, and more than just naked. I mean, I've seen some just unspeakable things that I don't want to mention on this podcast. But
We start doing pornography podcasts, then we could talk about that.
But it's that was like me meeting my my hero. So whoever you guys would love to meet, whoever that might be, like, who would you want to meet, Ant?
Well, a similar story. When I in an old job, we wound up working the 2008 New York Film Festival, and we had just gotten done shooting a opening night thing for the movie Changeling that came out in 2008, the Clint Eastwood movie, and we had wrapped up shooting the opening, just kind of like talking to the audience. Clint Eastwood was talking to the audience, and Angelina Jolie came up on the stage and all that kind of stuff. And we were wrapping up, and we were going downstairs, and at the bottom of the escalator, when we were coming out, we just like Clint Eastwood was just kind of hanging out. So like we're this like slowly descending down the escalator towards one of the most famous actors of all time and hero of mine, because I'm a huge fan of westerns and a huge fan of his directing. So that was kind of like, I shook his hand and I just kind of barely got out the words huge fan to him. Mark would probably be like some guy with a French name that played hockey once, right, Mark?
My many years of doing sports journalism have, you know, athletes don't bother me anymore. I've seen too much and been inside a baseball clubhouse after the game. So
Mark has seen a lot of penis.
Yes, I have. Of many sizes.
Is it true what they say, Mark?
White guys are much bigger. Yeah.
I'll stay silent. But let's just say girls aren't dating Andy Van Slyke's son for his baseball talent. So
congratulations to him.
I think it's funny. I never had the situation where I ran into any good-looking girls that I've seen in movies and stuff, so I don't know how I would react in that situation. My nervousness comes from a weird, really strange place, in that if it's anybody I respect in writing or anything, in like a newspaper or anything, I get a little nervous approaching them at first.
You're the total opposite of everyone else.
Because it's kind of like, it's someone you respect and you don't want to go in there and make a fool of yourself when you're first introduction to them. I guess it's kind of the same thing if you idolize a film star, in that you want to introduce yourself, but you don't want to be that guy when you walk away going, "Who the hell was that idiot?"
How would you compare that to an adult film actress?
It's like if Mark wanted to bang Bill Simmons.
I didn't want to come across as a creep, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, I may have the same reaction, but I've never been in a situation where it's been that close to happening. I've been in an arena where another adult film actress has been.
She was like literally 10 feet away.
Yeah. Yeah, like I've seen athletes at it, at bars and stuff, and I just go, "Hey, you're that guy," and they'll just look and walk away.
Then
we go.
Oh, all right.
The one New Year's we hang out in AC, Brian Westbrook walked by us the one bar. I don't know if you guys know someone. Brian Westbrook? You know, I said, I think it was with John, one of our other friends. And he just looked, nodded, and then walked into the VIP area.
Nice. He acknowledged you at least.
Yeah, he was like, "Yes, I am Brian Westbrook."
And then he faded into the darkness.
Yeah, exactly. He just kind of just went into the VIP room. Like, there was no conversation. Yeah, it's...
But like I was saying, like, Jason Mewes is, you know, he's an iconic New Jersey guy. You know, and he's a lot of people's idols. Maybe not idols, but he's someone a lot of people would probably like to meet, I'd imagine. And I had no problem saying hello to him. And then someone else is like 10 feet away, and I just, like, there was like a little kid talking to her, first of all, which was even weirder, because it was the father and the son. So they're talking to her, and she was having a good time, and I was like, should I go? And I was like, nah, let me wait. Maybe I'll get a better chance. And no other chance came, and,
They were talking to her for two completely different reasons.
Oh, absolutely. The little boy was saying, "I love April O'Neil. She was great in the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie." and the dad was saying, "I loved you" in that and that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles porn parody. That was amazing.
Does that exist?
It has to. I'd imagine it would. Okay. Not that I know much, but she was actually in a Bridesmaid parody.
Oh.
So, again, not that I saw it or anything.
That's kind of a weird movie to have a porn parody to, but...
They're everywhere. But,
yeah. Rule 34, I guess.
Absolutely. And real quick, let me put an end to this. And then we could start into the movie. I tweeted her. I sent her a tweet saying that I had missed the opportunity, and she actually responded saying, "Next time, come up." And she's like, "I love meeting new people. You should definitely come up." And I thought to myself, yeah, because I get this opportunity all the time.
But like, next time I'm on the coast, I'll hit you up.
But April O'Neil, if you're listening to this, I love you.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, and my girlfriend's in the other room, so she totally heard that.
Yeah, well, you should have gotten your girlfriend to take a picture with April O'Neil.
That's what I was kind of hoping I would get. Like, maybe I could get her and my girlfriend to take a picture, and maybe like a little.
You'll be like, "Oh, that one was blurry. Why don't you do this one now? And I'll kiss in this picture."
Yeah, you need to lean a little closer. I can't get you in the frame. Just a little closer. Yes, there you go. Maybe
put your hand on her ass.
Take your jacket off. You don't need that on for this. Yes. That was Comic-Con. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Nice. So I guess the point of this podcast.
By the way, guys, you did shame me into watching horror movies this week on last week's podcast.
Good.
But yeah, I watched the ones that I always watch, you know, the original Friday the 13th and Halloween and stuff like that. I don't just watch random ones. I usually go with a standard.
The classics?
Yeah, the classics.
So you know? Haven't watched anything that you haven't seen before? Besides
exactly.
The ones that we're doing for podcasts?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I don't go out and search for it because it's not my favorite genre. I'll be honest with that. But I do like the genre. So, you know.
You're so adventurous, Mark.
I've actually, usually when I try and do as many horror movies as I can during this month, I usually wind up going with the standards. But this month, actually, I've done pretty well in doing movies that I haven't seen before. I've only actually watched a couple movies that I've seen before. One was Adam's Family, just because it was a random night that me and my fiance were hanging out watching TV and we needed something to put on. So that was a kind of a compromise horror movie, because she's not a big fan of the genre. And then last Saturday, we caught a screening of The Shining at our local movie theater, and really couldn't pass that up because it's like my favorite horror movie of all time. So that was awesome.
That sounds awesome.
It was. I mean, I've seen that movie plenty of times, but it's the first time I've seen it, you know, but it's like the surround sound and all that, which was, for that score, it's something else.
Well, that was like when we saw Back to the Future that one time.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah.
I regret not going to the Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, yeah. I would have loved to do that. I don't know why I didn't.
I think we were going to try, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah, probably. Sounds about right.
Yeah. Story of our lives.
So, getting back on track, the movie that brings us together this week is Night of the Creeps, the movie from 1986. Mark, why don't you tell us what Night of the Creeps is about?
It's your generic college campus sorority semi-slasher flick, maybe? More creature maybe? But it comes out with this alien comes down to Earth, which I didn't really gather why exactly in the very beginning. But they're these little black slugs, and they enter your body, and once again, kind of like a Body Snatchers thing. And you turn into a zombie just long enough for them to incubate, basically grow more inside you, and then you explode and they spread. and basically the only way to kill them is with fire, which I thought was a nice touch and led to what I think they thought would look like a more of a badass moment at the end, but kind of just reminded me a little bit of the end of, it was the end of Arachnophobia, right, where John Goodman burns the house with all the spiders, or am I thinking that ending wrong?
I think that's Jeff Daniels who does it.
Oh, Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, yeah, John Goodman eats it, right?
Yeah, I think he dies midway through at least, yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen Arachnophobia in a few years. So. But yeah, it's essentially, it's one of those in the long line of...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Aliens or some kind of creature inhabiting human bodies and, you know, out to kill and destroy the whole human race.
Mm-hmm. It's really kind of just like a throwback to, just kind of like an homage to most horror movies, just mostly just, you know, because like it starts off in the 50s and it's kind of got that 50s monster movie kind of feel to it. And I mean, the name of the university is Corman University, throwing a nod to Roger Corman, and you know, people's last names are Cameron for James Cameron, Detective Landis for John Landis, and Sergeant Raimi for Sam Raimi. So it's all about paying tribute to the horror greats, essentially. And it's a little bit of Revenge of the Nerds in there, kind of your standard 80s college movie. Dan, what did you think of Night of the Creeps?
I thought it was a slow burn. It was a tough watch, to be honest with you. Very campy. Takes a long time for stuff to get going. Pretty much the third act is when everything happens. The first couple acts are just the main character, the kid, trying to get with this girl from the sorority house, and you're dealing with Tom Atkins and what happened in his past, pretty much. But nothing special, you know. It doesn't redefine any genre. Nothing really stands out too much, but at the same time, it's goofy. It has fun moments in it. It doesn't take itself too seriously. But other than that, like, nothing stands out from it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I think it's kind of like a running theme almost in the movies that we've been watching for this podcast. It's, you know, it's not particularly bad, not particularly great. As I was talking, we were texting each other back and forth earlier today. I was talking about the aesthetic of the movie, and we're watching it on Netflix, which has a great remastered version of this movie, and I almost feel like it takes away from it a little bit. I feel like this is one of those movies that you would, you know, someone in the early 90s probably would watch on either on basic cable late at night on like the USA Network when they used to run like monster movies late at night, or on a bad VHS copy, and it would kind of, it would add to the experience. It would be an added aesthetic, and with it being so clean, it makes it feel like it's a parody, I guess, is what I'm kind of saying, because it's a little too neat, it's a little too clean, a little too sanitized for what it is supposed to be. So it feels like it's a movie from 2014 that's about 1985 that's paying homage to the 1950s, is kind of the way I felt about this movie.
Yeah, and I don't see how... without going out and purchasing original VHS tapes, how you will ever get the real feeling of it back then. You know, Netflix doesn't have an SD, you know, clip this, have a worse quality of this movie. So it's just something we have to unfortunately deal with, but I get your point exactly. It didn't take away anything from me. This is kind of the wheelhouse for horror movies that I like in terms of not taking themselves too seriously, not a whole lot of jump scares per se, you know, and basically has its comedic moments when it's not trying to, but sometimes it does try to be a little too funny. Like it's always a theory where you think of a guy sitting around in a writing room and they write down a joke and then everybody goes, "Oh, that's gold," and then they edit the script or edit the movie and the joke doesn't fit, but they force it in anyway. Mm-hmm. Just because it made everyone laugh in the room. There's a lot of moments of that in there. But the very generic nature is just, it feels like something I would put on and just watch. I wouldn't actively go out and search for it. It wouldn't be something where I'm scanning by and going, maybe not tonight. You know, if I see it on, I'll put it on. But I'm not going to go search on Netflix for it if we weren't doing this podcast or anything like that. What it did was it found a way to encapsulate, campy horror movies with campy 80s movies, mm-hmm. all into one package, which I enjoyed that a little bit more than you guys, but that was the part that kept me hooked.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm always a big fan of campy horror movies, 80s, that kind of stuff. So I enjoyed how it didn't take itself too seriously. And like Anthony mentioned, a lot of that could be told from paying homage to the great horror directors of, you know, like Sam Raimi, Cameron, stuff like that. And what's good about this one is I feel like they tried to squeeze in a ton of references. So if you kind of go back, you could check, like, I'm seeing here in one scene in the bathroom, graffiti, it says, "Go Monster Squad." So Monster Squad, it says, was the next film by the director.
Yeah.
So that's like a little something that if you've seen Monster Squad or you're just a horror fan in general, that's something that might catch your eye. Say, "Oh, that's cool." And the house that the sorority mother or what, I don't know what they call them. I don't think they have them around anymore.
I think it's a house mother.
The house mother. That house was the house from Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Hmm.
So, you see, like, sometimes if you don't know that, you're like, "Oh, that's a cool connection." But other than that, the movie didn't have anything going for it. You know, like, besides, I would say the highlight of this movie was Tom Atkins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably the highlight of every movie he's in, but yeah, no, he was great. He was, you know, it's the moment you know, realize that there's one actor in a movie that's better than everybody else, like by a wide margin. We talked about that in last year when we were doing Hood of Horror, when we were talking about how basically Ernie Hudson acts circles around just about everybody else in the entire movie, and it does pick up a little bit when he's on screen, and I think the same thing here. He's got, Tom Atkins has that one monologue where he's telling the character Chris basically the origins of this sort of alien invasion and how he was kind of there from ground zero.
He witnessed his ex-girlfriend murdered, pretty much.
Which I don't think really has anything to do with the alien invasion in and of itself.
Nothing.
Right? It just so happened there was an escaped mental patient or escaped convict who was on the loose when her boyfriend goes to check out to see what this shooting star / meteor crash is, which happens to be the alien touchdown where it crashes.
Yeah.
And while she's waiting for him to get back is when the guy kills her, and I guess Tom Atkins eventually finds him, kills him, and buries him. And he comes back once these slugs, I guess, take over that body. So it's kind of like a zombie movie in and of itself.
I think what they were trying to get at with that, and they dropped it very quickly, was when the murders started happening again, it kind of it mirrored the original murderer.
Mm-hmm.
But they drop it real quick because they mention it for like a split second, and like, well, that guy was killed like 20 years ago or whatever, you know, 30 mm-hmm. years ago, he's gone. So, and then they never bring it up again. So it really had little bearing on the movie's plot, other than, I guess, to bring him back as a skeleton, just to get rid of him 2 minutes later. But going back to Tom Atkins, by the way, I think we've mentioned Hood of Horror in every single podcast.
I think so, too.
So that's going to be our occurring theme, I guess. Yeah, Tom Atkins, we were talking about before we started recording, Halloween 3, he was easily the best part of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the kid melting his face in that pumpkin mask. But other than that, yeah, everything he's in, he just... It's not even like he's good, but it just seems like he is in a league of his own compared to these like B-movie casts.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely steals the scene. He definitely chews it up a little bit at times.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking to the kid, and he just kind of goes off onto his own, saying, "You know what I did with my shotgun? Yeah, I leveled it off at his chest, and I blew the guy away." So you can see he can kind of go crazy, and with these movies, you have to love that.
Yeah, and I think that scene was the best bit of acting that Chris's actor came up with, just his reaction to how insanely crazier, not to use two of the same terms back to back, that Tom Atkins' monologue kept getting as it mm-hmm. went along, and just that whole scene, that's the most memorable scene to me in it, in that you finally saw, you're like, okay, this guy made this movie a little bit more legitimate than it was up to that point. And to top it off, he did have one of a really good police guy mustaches.
He did. And he has a glorious mustache.
Yes, he does.
And yeah, and there was also a great 80s black guy mustache from one of the patrolmen when they were looking for the, you know, it was the perfect, I'm not even going to try to remember his name, but the guy from Police Academy.
Michael Winslow?
Yeah, that's it. I think he had a really good one in one of them, because it looked like they were trying to mirror that a little bit with him being a cop as well, you know, in the patrol car. With you guys throwing out all these references, you know, it could have very well been, you know, a nod to Police Academy, you know.
Maybe.
But,
sure,
why not? Yeah, I mean, it could have just been something I picked up, but you never know. But,
Or maybe they just all look alike to you, Mark.
Oh,
no, I never said that.
Here we go again.
But, the whole thing is a lot of these B movies. There's always one person that seems to know what they're doing for them to at least be a credible movie to watch. It's when all the actors and characters are terrible are the ones that you just completely dismiss immediately. So guys like Tom Atkins are the backbone of these campy movies.
It's a good way to put it, I think. And mm-hmm. I also like the scene when he's going to get the flamethrower. And he's joking around the whole time. He's like, yeah, you know, I just need your run-of-the-mill, military-grade flamethrower, and they're joking about it. And then he threatens the cop. Like, he's really going to shoot a cop to get a flamethrower.
Yeah.
It's just so over the top, but it's awesome because he pulls it off perfectly.
Yeah, and that guy is famous, too.
Yeah, the inventory guy, right?
Yeah.
He's a character actor.
Yeah, I'm trying to think where he... he's from Gremlins, but I can't think of his name.
Is he the guy that plays the like sort of the vampire character in the second one? Or is that someone else I'm thinking of?
I think you're thinking of someone else. What the fuck's the guy's name? I'll look it up right now.
Yeah, but one other thing, I mentioned this to you guys in text message. The lead actress in this is probably one of the best definitions of what I talk about in these movies, where I say someone is 80s hot, where she looks, as soon as you look at her, you know what decade that's from. You know, it's she's one of the perfect definitions of that, where it's not too over the top, where someone's trying to mock an 80s or be a little too big of an 80s look with the big hair. But it's just, she's just...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's got that look of what those actresses back then in those horror movies and the teen dramas and, you know, the Hughes movies and all that sort of encapsulate. It's sort of a category when I watch these movies, I sort of go, yeah, she kind of fits that mold, and, you know.
Yeah. Now, are you saying that she wouldn't be hot in any other decade?
I don't know. I think she's still good looking now, but, it's
like this
just...
day? Or are you saying that she would translate?
I think, personally for me, she would translate. I think she's a very good-looking actress, at least when she was that age. I didn't see any new photos of her since to see how she's aged. But I think it shows that it's a different way of the way actresses looked back then. They're a little more imperfect, if that's mm-hmm. the right word to use, than they are today. There's a couple more flaws to them than, you know, trying to maybe they don't touch it up as much in post as they do today for mm-hmm. some instances. I don't really know how editing works. You do that a lot more than I do. But it seems to come from that generation where they sort of have that little like how the 80s style looks back then, a little over the top, but yet still simple and girl next door cute, and sort of the same thing. I don't know if I'm explaining this well, but
I'm getting it a little bit. I get what you're putting down.
Yeah. It's just you know, you couldn't they did a good job. You know, if they were trying to appeal this to similar movies of the time, to kind of make it appealing to, I guess, what the mainstream was looking for back then. They mm-hmm. didn't go with somebody too off topic, or somebody too different. It kind of looked like it fit in, and reminded me that it was a movie made in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you talking about Dick Miller, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah,
I was just about to say that. Yeah, he was in Gremlins, Gremlins 2. He was also played the gun shop owner in the original Terminator. So it's kind of a similar role that he played in that. He was in The Burbs.
Isn't that a horror movie? I've never seen that.
It's kind of, but not quite.
Yeah, it's a forgotten Tom Hanks movie.
Yeah. Matinee, you remember Matinee with John Goodman?
I remember that.
Yeah, where he plays like a movie promoter almost. It's kind of a throwback to those 1950s monster movies from the early 90s. So he had a pretty decent career too, this guy, Dick Miller.
Yeah, he was a big character actor, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Mark said that already, but...
Yeah.
You see him in a bunch of things.
Yeah,
I think
he's definitely one of those guys that pops up a lot. Not to the extent of someone that's a famous character actor like Quinn Howard or anything like
right.
that. But he's a guy you, in a certain, I think if, I'm not looking at his IMDb profile, but I'm going to guess there's like a 10-year period where he was in a lot of known movies at the time. And you kind of got his face kind of burned into your brain, but you can't really place where you've seen him before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's the boss? Freddy's Nightmare?
Small Soldiers.
Small Soldiers.
Well, he's got 174 acting credits, so he's definitely been around. It looks like he was a favorite of Roger Corman during the 50s and 60s. So he's definitely had a pretty good career. Did a lot of TV as he got older.
He was in The Terminator.
Yeah, that's what I said. He was the pawn shop owner.
Oh, right.
The
he sells him the gun.
Yeah, and then he blows him away.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. So
good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing about this movie, because it was pretty weird that I actually got to watch this movie after doing my big write-up on Slither. Because it's not essentially the same thing, but the characters are very similar, and meaning the slugs are, mm-hmm. are very similar to the same type of thing. And it just, you know, reminded me that as much as we think some movies might have a little different flavor to them, there's always a chance that part of it's derived from something else the director's seen in the past. Mm-hmm. Like, he might have done, oh, I like those slugs from Night of the Creeps, I'm going to put it in mine because... how many people that are watching my movie in 2006 have seen this movie? You know, and wouldn't pick up that I, you know, or maybe he's thrown an homage out there to the movie. But
well, according to IMDb, Night of the Creeps is referenced in Slither.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't go into any sort of detail about that.
I haven't watched Slither since watching this, so maybe now that when I watch Slither, I'll now get a reference that I didn't get before.
Right. So there you go. And the woman that we were talking about was named Jill Whitlow. And she did a good fan service. She showed off her boobies ever so quickly.
Yeah.
Is that something?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they're very, very, very quick.
Yeah, this was the two scenes where it happened were the... epitome of gratuitous, unnecessary nudity in a mm-hmm. film. Like her scene, there was no real reason at any point outside of just showing off her boobs to have her turn around there without the shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the shower scene, you know, not complaining about any of that, but it was like prime examples of, you know, in that time frame, we're just like, hey, everybody likes some nudity in these movies. The girls are taking a shower. Let's throw that on there. You know, sort of. I put the scene in, not to go off in a completely different genre, but the shower scene in Starship Troopers kind of has that feel in another genre.
Right.
You know, where it's just like thrown in there for absolutely no reason. just as some kind of fan service.
Absolutely.
It was well appreciated.
Yeah, we're not complaining, but... yeah, it's kind of funny when it comes up. They sat in the room and probably like, yeah, we need some.
This movie can't rely on Tom Atkins alone.
Yeah, we need something else to pull in the VHS buys. and speaking of actors that I couldn't put my finger on where I've seen them from, Jason Lively. The whole time I'm sitting there, I'm like, I know him. He's probably in a bunch of 80s movies. And I looked it up, and so I was like, I only seen him in European Vacation. But, he plays the Griswold son, which, was he the third actor to play it, or fourth? Which one was that?
I think second.
Second.
Was European before Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was,
that's
it,
where I was getting
confused. It was Vacation, European, Christmas, I
Christmas.
Think.
Christmas. And then Vegas?
Vegas was the last one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, the whole time I'm sitting there going, yeah, I'm sure I've seen him in a bunch of movies. And I look at his IMDb profile, and it's kind of minuscule. But yeah, he's probably the opposite of a famous character actor, where he was really big in one movie, and kind of just kind of burned into his, at least my brain. Pretty well after the last time I've seen European Vacation was probably like 8 years ago.
So. He's a pretty ugly dude, so you don't forget a face like that.
Yeah, and it might have been because he was a redhead too. You know, that was rare in those movies back then.
I feel bad for saying that. I should not have called him ugly. I apologize to him. He's not ugly. He's average.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to get on his good side since his stepsister is Blake Lively. If she ever comes single again.
Yeah. If she ever gets lost in Somerset, New Jersey.
Maybe she'll be at New York Comic Con.
Now she's got a kid in tow. I don't know if you want to get involved in that.
So Ryan Reynolds is his brother-in-law, huh?
Step-brother-in-law, yes.
Step-brother-in-law, that counts.
Yeah.
So he's definitely getting the better of this deal.
Yep, I'm sure he'll make sure everybody knows it. I don't know much on Ryan Reynolds' side.
Have you seen my brother-in-law's new movies coming out? Yeah, Ryan Reynolds.
Somewhere in Los Angeles, Jason Lively's getting kicked out of a bar screaming about how Ryan Reynolds is his step-brother-in-law.
Dude, I'm related to the Green Lantern!
Don't make me get Ryan down here. Yeah, we know, Ryan Reynolds. Whatever.
He's the Green Lantern!
I'll show them. I'll show everybody. Oh, I really hope that's happening right now. He's probably a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Probably a family man. Owns a used car dealership. Probably pretty successful.
And also, it looked like the last thing he did in the business was he was a director, producer, and stuff on, like, Learn How to Hip-Hop Dance DVDs.
Ooh, so. That's how you know you're doing well.
As of September 2011, he's working for a California computer company and selling roasted corn in his spare time.
Ooh. Good for him. The last time he worked was in 1993. Ouch. Ouchies.
He's married to Lonnie.
21 Jump Street. Yeah, that's whoever that is. I thought that too. I was like, Lonnie? I was like, alright. They don't even have a link to it. So she must not be anything special.
I'm sure she's beautiful.
I doubt that. I don't know why I'm shitting all over Jason Lively right now. He was a good Rusty.
You're shitting on him is reminding me of that Family Guy scene when he writes the letter to Craig T. Nelson. And then Craig T. Nelson shows up at the door with the gun and goes, "Get it over with."
That'd be hilarious if after this airs, he just shows up and please just put an end to it. I'm so tired of working at this computer company. That probably doesn't sell very well.
Well,
he is not on Twitter, unfortunately.
Figures. The guy hasn't worked since 1993. I doubt he does anything social.
He works at a computer company. You'd think he'd just be able to, like, check his Twitter from work, you know? Like someone that works at the next door.
He stays off the Twitter. He's not a genius, is he? An Apple genius.
They're very vague about what kind of California computer company it is.
Just sitting at the desk, and everyone just asks them these stupid ass questions.
Hey, are you Jason Lively?
I don't think anyone knows his name. Brother of Laurie Lively and Robin Lively. Jake Lively.
Yeah, I think
Ernie Lively.
Yeah, I think Robin is Blake's mother. I think.
Oh,
I'm not sure.
You said roasted corn.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
What do you think I said?
I don't know what you said. I thought you said something about like Corman or something like that. I was like, is he working for Roger Corman still? Nice. Roasted. How do you sell roasted corn?
He's the owner and operator of Jimmy Crack Corn, a mobile roasted corn business.
Good for him. Not even Jimmy.
Nope.
That makes, it should be Jason Crack Corn. Idiot. God, this guy knows nothing.
Well, to steer away a little bit from the ripping apart every piece of Jason Lively's life.
Well, before we do, let's just say, Jason Lively, if you're listening, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, might as well just throw that in there. I can imagine him at work listening to this. A single tear just goes down his face.
I love the idea that for a podcast of our size that we're telling anyone that could possibly listen to go fuck themselves.
Specifically Jason Lively.
Well, he's not that kind of person you could just pick on.
Oh, man.
I knew the roasted corn business was stupid.
It's not even kettle corn, it's just roasted corn.
Right, what are you doing? Come on. That just deserves to be berated. But, we got to get back on track.
Yeah, this took a ridiculous yet great turn.
It did. So thank you, Jason. Thank you for that. You see, he helped us. That's the last thing he's done. He helped us with the podcast.
He's going to say that on his tombstone.
Roasted corn helps the main Damie podcast. I would love for him to get, like, if somehow he catches wind of this, to just fire back at us.
We'll start off an internet beef with Jason Lively.
I hope so. His tombstone would have to mention that he's beloved step brother-in-law to Ryan Reynolds.
The best thing he's ever done.
And then the inevitable divorce, they'd have to just etch in X after he's done. So, Mark, you wanted to steer in a different direction?
Yeah, no, what I was going to say is, I know we brought up in the past, you know, not enjoying some of these movies, and that upset that we watched it. This is the first one that I've seen that I'm like, yeah, I can see myself watching this again.
I wouldn't say that I would be disappointed in this movie. I think for what we're trying to attain in terms of these podcasts, which I think we wound up doing a pretty good one so far, if I do say so myself. It's just we're looking for, you know, movies that we could have something to talk about. And I think...
Apparently we need to find more Jason Lively movies.
Exactly.
You'll be hard-pressed to find them.
Yeah, and I can't even think for the life of me the movie we watched previous to this.
The Stuff.
Night of the Demon.
The Stuff. It was The Stuff. The Stuff. Right. Which kind of we really didn't have. We really kind of ran out of things to talk about. We were kind of reaching for things to mention and to bring up. So that's kind of we're trying to think of something that we can poke fun of or something that really surprises us. And maybe necessarily Night of the Creeps didn't really accomplish that, but we found something to talk about anyway, which, just happenstance, I guess.
And much to the dismay of Jason Lively.
Jason Lively.
But, he didn't do a bad job in that film, so...
No, he did
what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, he did exactly what his character was meant to do, and what many characters like that were written to do. You know, he's supposed to be the underdog guy, fighting back against the monster, and also probably kept the trope that pretty sure he was a virgin, so he stayed alive at the end.
Right.
And didn't get killed. I like the aspect. I wish they would have either had a showdown with him and the friend, the one on crutches, or sort of had them together at the end. Because I think it was better as a as three heroes than just him and the girl, but that was more of an 80s thing, where, you know, it would only be like, he thinks this girl's pretty, and then they end up together at the end, in this case, fighting giant black slugs with a flamethrower. Instead of
there
being
was more of a main, like a big villain to fight, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sort of like with the stuff. You know, right. I was hoping that the stuff would turn into a monster or something.
Well, it was kind of like how you compared it to Slither. At the end of Slither, they have to fight Michael Roker's giant monster. So he's kind of like the main villain, or he becomes the main villain. So that's what I was kind of hoping, where at the end in the basement, obviously all those slugs had just kind of gathered there.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping maybe they had become like an entity or something like that, and they take it down and...
Yeah,
but obviously that does not happen.
Or they infect and the Zapka lookalike becomes a big evil they have to destroy. It's like a final boss taking a video game reference there,
right.
Sort of thing.
Right, exactly. Was that guy anybody? That Zapka lookalike, was he anybody that we know? Because he did look familiar. I forgot to look that up.
I don't know.
I actually didn't look him up while I was doing it.
What was his name? Was it Brad?
Yeah.
It's probably Brad, right?
Yeah, it's one of the ones that actually has a photo on his thing. Let's see what he's done. Oh, he hasn't acted in much.
No.
No,
he was in Mama's Family. You like Mama's Family.
Gotta love Mama's Family.
Yeah, he didn't do actually anything really big. At all.
Well, then fuck that guy too.
Alan Kazer. He was in a recent horror movie called House of the Witch Doctor.
But it sucks because of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does nothing to further that movie.
But,
I can already tell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I love that his name is Brad. Like that's such an 80s villain, bad guy, jock name.
A total douche name, Brad.
Yeah.
And that's carried on through the decades, too. It's not just the 80s.
Yeah, Brad, Kyle. What other ones?
Chad.
Yeah, Chad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything like that. Chad. Chuck.
Yeah.
Yep. Those are the names we hate, everybody.
Jason Lively. Yeah, got to bring that back around.
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, this movie, you have to be in the mood, I feel. Like, for me, like, had it not been Halloween, obviously, in the middle of summer, I wouldn't be like, hey, let's watch Night of the Creeps. It's really for a specific set of people. You know, you have to be a big horror fan to get into this, I feel. It's not just your average person who's just looking for something scary, because you're not going to find it here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's worth a watch during this time of the season.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's not something I would go search for, but if it happened to be on, now that I've seen it, I would definitely tune into it, because I know what it is. But if I had never watched it before and I saw it pop up on the guide on cable or across my Netflix, you know, recommendations, I probably wouldn't have tuned in. You know, it's one of those that you have to know it to see it. Kind of like a movie me and Anthony really love that would be in the same way, being Night of the Comet. Sort of thing.
I like that movie. That was a good one.
I didn't, yeah. I didn't know if you had seen it yet, Dan, but...
Oh, I have.
But yeah, it's the same sort of thing where you wouldn't really tune into it unless if you really were into watching random horror movies.
Right. That this one definitely fits that description.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think we've reached the end, just about the final minutes of this podcast talking about Night of the Creeps. Dan, you got any closing thoughts, or you think you're all about done?
Just real quick, I guess, this movie, it delivers on what it's supposed to deliver on. I think it doesn't go for too much. If you're looking for something and you kind of exhausted all possibilities, you've watched all the classics, I would definitely recommend this movie.
Mark?
Yeah, it's definitely a movie if you are in search of watching as many horror movies as possible, to go out and search. It's nothing wrong with it. You won't be upset that you watched it. It's not something you'll constantly look at the how much time's remaining on it at points in the movie. It moves at a good pace. I think I only checked it once and was surprised to see I was halfway done with it when I went to check it. So it's one of those movies where you may not put it at the top of your list of things to see, but you won't feel like you wasted an hour and a half watching it.
Sure, yeah. Anyone want to plug anything? Anything that they want people to know that they're doing?
I'll be appearing at the New York Gotham Comedy Club sometime. I don't know. Probably not. Just, I was tired of Mark plugging his blog and me not having anything.
Was that serious?
Yeah. No, not at all serious. I'm not showing up anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mark,
yeah.
You want to anticlimactically plug something on your
blog?
Well,
yeah. Yeah. I think we should all mention, at least me, you can, all of us have a Twitter handle if you want to follow us. You know, I'm at Off the Mark Tweet. My website, Off the Mark Thoughts. Next week should be starting up the check-ins with the new TV pilots. They're all about reaching episode 4 or 5, and I try to get it right before the fall, before some of them go in fall hiatus, to just check in. Hopefully none of them have been canceled yet. I haven't seen any of the ones I'm checking in, which would make my thing completely useless, since I'm going to try to predict if they're going to get a renewal or not from watching it. But yeah, there might be something going up next week too for one of my biggest surprise pilots, which I didn't even originally think about reviewing, Marry Me, the Casey Wilson, Ken Marino vehicle, which is actually much better than I thought it would be. But I shouldn't have doubted Casey Wilson because I was a big Happy Endings fan.
Mm-hmm. And Dan is a big fan of Happy Endings, so it comes full circle.
There it is, man. I love it.
Dan, do you want to tell your Twitter handle, or you don't want people to follow you?
No, I could definitely use all the followers out there, according to the one guy that I got into an argument with. Dan Aquino Comedy, Aquino spelled A-Q-U-I-N-O. Go for a follow. I tweet pretty stupid stuff, so if you're into that, I invite you to follow me.
Very nice. I'm Ant Delvec, A-N-T-D-E-L-V-E-C. Feel free to follow, unless you're Jason Lively, because then you could go fuck yourself.
Yeah, you might want to stay away.
And also be sure to follow at the Main Damie. Is that the website's Twitter handle?
The Main Damie's got its own Twitter handle. Yep, it's just the Main Damie. And basically just post the same things I do online.
Yeah, if you don't want to listen to us talk about stupid shit on our personal Twitters, you can just go ahead and follow that one and keep up to date with the website and times we do podcasts or any reviews like that. So.
Yep. Okay, so I think that's it. We'll hopefully be back soon with, I believe we're going to do Night of the Demon, maybe?
Yeah.
It's been talk about that.
Hasn't
been finalized, but it might be. So until then, for Dan and Mark, this is the Main Damie Podcast saying see you next time. Bye.
Goodbye, Internet.
From a world unknown comes a nightmare unimagined. First, they are under you, around you, on you, and then inside you.
And get in through your mouth. and you walk around while they incubate, even if you're dead.
They are a new breed of terror.
Freeze!
They are a different kind of horror.
Zombies, exploding heads, creepy crawlies. We could have a little problem.
The creeps are taking over.
Oh, I got good news and bad news, girls.
What?
The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
You have never had a night like this. Night of the creeps. If you scream, you're dead.